Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lost Skills Podcast, where we help you learn the skills you need to survive modern life. Today's episode's also going to be about gun control. I know I talked about it some last time, and I talked about, you know, some of the key ingredients in the current debate. And since I've talked, since I recorded this podcast, which I need to, the last one, which I need to put up quick before I get to this one, there have been some new developments, I guess, that come out. Not really any new shootings or anything to that degree, but let's get into it, shall we? Also, I don't know, I'm going to talk about this for a minute before I get started. I don't know if I'm going to have a membership area anymore. Since the old site went down and I lost everything and the new site came up, I don't know if it pays to have a members area or not. I don't know. I was thinking of going the whole Patreon route. I'm not sure what I want to do yet. I might not just do anything. I might just go back, put some affiliate links up, and maybe a couple of sponsors that I, from people I know that are personal friends of the podcast and stuff. I don't know. I keep trying to make the podcast self-sustainable. It's just I don't think I have the frequency of podcasts right now and stuff to do that. So I think I'm just going to end up eating it and, you know, paying for all the hosting myself, which is usually what happens. Not all the time, but sometimes. But to those of you that have joined the membership, the workshop in the past, the workshop may come back. It may come back in a different form. I don't know yet. I do want to say thank you to everybody that has previously joined the workshop. And, you know, I might just even go so far as to just put a donate button on the podcast. If you want to help support the show, you know, donate a couple dollars or a dollar or whatever you want to do. Yeah, it's something that, you know, I've been thinking about. The problem, well, never mind. We're not going to talk about that today. We'll talk about that some other day. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about in the gun control debate is now I've been seeing stuff up that since there was a few stabbings in London, now the mayor of London came out, tweeted, saying that if you're there's no reason to carry a knife in London, and if you're carrying a knife, you will be basically caught and punished. You know, that to me it's a natural progression. If you take away the guns, I'm gonna say something that most gun control or most anti-gun control advocates will not say, is that yes, to some degree, if you get rid of guns, there will be less guns. Well, it's not that there'll be less guns. There'll be less bullets. So the guns will be saved for the very violent crimes, the home entry break-ins and stuff like that. You know, drug deals and all of that stuff. And those people, if you could smuggle drugs, you could smuggle guns. I'm sorry. It's, you know, that's just the long and short of it. But for the common person, you know, some guy that wants to get into a fight, or one guy that, you know, starts messing with someone else's wife, stuff like that, that's going to be knives and whatever the guy's got handy. I'll admit to that. A lot of people that are against gun control won't admit to that, but I will. And you know what? That just hurts the common everyday guy. Someone like me or many of the listeners in my audience, hopefully, well, all of the listeners in my audience are, you know, responsible gun owners if they own firearms. But you're going to have your certain percentage of guns that go missing. You know, there's a lot of people that have guns that someone else bought. And, you know, in certain states, it's legal to sell a firearm just like any other piece of your property. Once you own it, it's yours. You can sell it. You don't have to, background check anybody, which I'm perfectly okay with, because most of the time, if you're going to sell a gun, you're going to sell it to your buddy or someone that you've known for years or something like that. If you're going to sell a gun, you're going to kind of check the guy out, because nobody wants to be responsible for selling a gun to somebody that's going to go and commit crimes with it. You know, I'm just saying is that everybody thinks that we, you know, I'm just going to sell my gun to some skeezy guy that comes over to my house with $50. That's not the way it works, guys. If you're anti-gun, that's not the way it works. For one, most people that have guns, unless you get hard up for money or something, you really don't usually sell them. And yeah, I guess while I'm here, I might as well talk about the gun show loophole a little bit, or what they perceive to be the gun show loophole. Honestly, almost every gun show I go to, most of the people that are there have small mom-and-pop gun shops. And if they sell you a gun, there is a background check. Now, there's a guy who's just a collector who has a bunch of guns and decides to get rid of a couple of his collection that might get a table and set up. And, you know, he wants to sell me his gun. And I think that's perfectly fine. For one, whose business is it if me and him do a transaction? It's nobody's business, I feel. I mean, if I want to give him money for a firearm and I have no nefarious reason to want it, I don't see any reason for anyone to get involved. If I look like I'm under 18, the guy's going to ask me for an ID. I guarantee you, if you're at a gun show or something like that, and he does not know you, he's going to check for your ID, he's going to write down personal information, and you're going to get a bill of sale, and he's going to get some sort of copy of your driver's license or something. That's just a prudent way to do it. So, if a person was smart, and they're selling their firearms, which most of these guys are, pretty smart, you know, there's some level of cover your ass into it for everybody. I really don't care who you are. If you're selling a gun to someone you're not exactly, don't exactly know, you're going to cover your ass. That way, you know, if he commits a crime and it ever comes back your way, well, you say, I sold it to him legally and this and that. I followed all the laws. And a lot of times, in some states, if you sell someone a firearm, they're legally required to register the firearm into their name through, you know, a background check and stuff. So that's one thing that, you know, I want to talk about. It's that they always cry about the loophole. It's not really a loophole. And in fact, there's other things I don't think the state should be involved in. When I sell my car to somebody and I decide to sell it to them for $500 in the state of Wisconsin, they used to just collect the tax on the actual money that I sold it to them for. They would, you know, they would take when that person registered the car, which I don't think he should pay tax on at all, he had to pay $500. Now, they could say, no, you just sold him a $5,000 car for $500. You better come up with a good reason why that happened, or we're going to tax you for the $5,000. And I don't think they should be involved in that either. And there's certain other things, you know, I mean, but that's not what this is about. But yeah, I wanted to talk about those things. Those aren't loopholes. And if I go to a gun shop, you know, you fill out a form, he looks the form over, he calls in, he enters some of the the information off of the form, and they do a background check on you, and in a few minutes they tell you whether, yes, this guy's on a list, he cannot own firearms, or no, he is not. Do I think that maybe the waiting period is a good idea? Yeah, why not? You know, a cool-off period to someone like me who wants to buy a firearm, it's just an inconvenience. You're not stopping my right to buy a firearm by any means. But if you have a 48-hour cool-off period, you could stop the guy who got really pissed at his wife and went down to the hardware store to buy a gun from buying a gun and shooting her. I'll concede that. And Wisconsin did have a 48-hour waiting period on handguns. And, you know, honestly, I didn't see a problem with that. It's like I said, for me as a gun owner, it's a minor inconvenience. I would be okay if it came back. I'd even be okay if they did it on rifles. It's kind of a pain in the ass. But in, you know, say if I went to Green Bay and went to Cabela's and bought a firearm, and then I had to go back 2 days later to Green Bay, it's kind of an inconvenience, but it's one I'd be willing to take. And, you know, also I think that would help the small local gun owners, and, you know, that would help keep the sales more local. But in the end, in my fear is I think that they're going to, that in the end, firearms will be restricted so that you won't have the mom and pop dealer, the guy who works a regular job, but he has an FFL and he sells firearms out of his basement. Which, you know, is perfectly legal. At any time, the ATF can go in there, search his books, just like a big box store or anything like that. Just because they're in a big place behind a big glass showcase doesn't mean they follow the regulations any more than a guy who does it out of his home. You know, that's just my feeling on that. Yeah, I don't know, guys. I think that part of the problems are coming in how people are raised. Let's see. I want to talk about one more gun control thing. No, I'm not even going to say that because I don't want some anti-gun person to even run with that idea. I could make the gun control thing go away really quick where we could have all the guns we want, but they would be restricted use. And I'm not going to even mention my idea because, not that I think that my podcast is big enough that anybody would hear it, is that, I wouldn't like it. Another thing I heard that I would be in favor of was somebody mentioned like a 5% tax on ammunition sales to fund having trained resource officers at schools. Well, not resource officer, but trained guards, basically, at the schools to make sure nothing bad happens. Now, I think that's a good idea, but I wanna throw another idea up in the air besides taxing the legal gun owners, because that, in truthfulness, that will be paid by legal gun owners. People that legally buy ammunition, people that legally go to the shooting range, people who go hunting, which, like I said, in the end, if that happens, I have no problem with it. But you're still not going to punish the guy, you know, the backstreet drug dealers and stuff like that. Maybe a little bit, because they still might go to Walmart and buy ammunition. There's no law against that. Perhaps there's a law against them owning a firearm, though. But, you know, like I said, if you can smuggle drugs, you can smuggle guns. It's not going to stop anything. Here's a more interesting idea. All this money that we send out foreign aid to make sure we have all these friends around the world. Why don't we just take some of that money and redirect it into protecting our schools? We could buy metal detectors with that money. We could pay people, trained professionals, to watch over our children. Pay you know, someone who's willing to do what they have to do in that situation. Why not take money from these countries that, honestly, they don't even like us. They just like to take our money. Take some of that money, redirect it back into the U.S. It's our tax dollars anyway, and I would really don't give a shit if my tax dollars, our tax dollars go to Syria to help them versus protects our children. I'm just going to say that. I don't care if we funnel money to the Middle East, not to, you know, not help them out, but I don't care if we give $10 million or $10 billion to Pakistan or $10 million to this country or $10 million to that country. I really don't give a shit. Why not start spending some of that money at home? You know, that's the thing, you know, I think of is, why not do something to that effect? Why not take some of that money and channel it back into the U.S. and we can make some more jobs? And I'm going to talk about that. Apparently this podcast is going to go longer because I don't have time to expand on my idea about the schools. Maybe I'll do that tonight on the way home. But we should funnel some of that money back here. We can have people watching over our children. We could set up free resources for people who think they're being messed with, that want to talk or needs to see somebody, and it can be discreetly, and we could pay for that. $10 million would free up a lot of people's time to, you know, have someone in school where if someone felt they're being picked on or bullied, could go into a private setting and talk to them. Or after school, there could be a place set up near the school so the kids don't see that person go there and want to talk about the problems they're having in school, to help with the mental health issue that we have. And honestly, guys, there's more to the mental health issue than that, but we could take some of that money that we're giving to other countries, like I said, that don't care. They don't care about us. They give a flying you-know-what about us. I have to watch my mouth again. Aaron's listening to the podcast. Aaron left. Hi. Don't want to expose your kids to the naughty words. That's funny. But yeah, they don't really care about us. Why are we giving them stuff for free? What we do here is the opposite. I guess it's the opposite of bullying. We're paying people to bully them. We're paying people for our influence. You know, I know you, you know, it's basically you beat up on someone and then you go back to them and say, hey, we know you really don't like us. We know we mess with you a lot. Here's some money. Let's be pals. And then we bully them again. It's just the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard of. And our government does it every day. You know, I'm not saying end the embassies or all that, but I think that, you know, our country, our leadership needs to start looking closer to home. I really do. That's how I feel about that. And I think to some degree that Trump does that. But like I said, we need to, I mean, we had presidents that were isolationists, where they didn't want to deal with other countries at all whatsoever. And this was, you know, prior to World War One, World War Two. There's no reason that we couldn't go to a limited isolationist type system again, where, you know, we're not really going to try to influence the whole world. We're going to try to fix what's going on here first. But I guess I'm going to get out of here, guys. I'm going to do a next part of the podcast, and I'm going to talk about my ideas for, like, the school security officers and stuff like that. I have some interesting ideas. So until next time, we'll talk about that, and I'll see you guys later.